You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast here by William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, alongside John O'Connell. As always, John, great to see you. And we'll start first on the podcast by saying it's been a great day at the office for a certain Willie Mullins. He's had winners at Cork, winners at Punchestown as well. Get a Bird won for the first time over fences this afternoon. And Min won the John Durkin.
Yeah, benefit day for Mr. Mullins, as you say, and Min, he's got a fantastic record first time up, and he showed it again, winning the John Durkin today. The 2.5 mile trip, he stays it well. I just wondered today if some of his rivals might have put up to him a little bit more and made him more of a stamina test, but they were unable to do so, or chose not to do so, and Min, yet another win, first time up for the horse, and beat Shattered Love by a length and a half. The runner-up was coming back a little bit in the closing stages, but was never actually going to trouble the winner.
No, it certainly wasn't. Indeed, Charbel at Huntingdon, their big day of the year, winning the Peterborough Chase.
Really impressive. There was a bit of a battle for the lead in the early stages, but Charbel, Noel Feely rode today, David Bassett a fall yesterday, so Noel Feely took over. He's had an enjoyable day as well, with an impressive win of Bag's Groove earlier on as well. But Charbel jumped really well, God's Own, chased in vain at the last half mile, and ran really well, God's Own, as he tends to always do, going right-handed. But the winner was in a different league. They're going to have fun with this horse this season, and I just wonder if they might have missed a bit of a trick, not going for the King George, not entering for the King George on Boxing Day. Yes, it would have been a different trip for the horse, but they might just be thinking, well, we could almost have gone there.
Do you think, if you was Kim Bailey then, would you take him to the King George to take on the likes of...
Well, it's too late now because he can't. He missed the entry stage, which was a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Could they not supplement him?
I don't know, actually. I've got to be honest. I don't know, Bobby, if there is a... There may well be a supplementary stage. I'm not aware if there is one, but I honestly don't know either way. Given that they haven't entered him in the first place, they might have been suspect of, they would have been suspect of the stamina. But it's one of those that if they would have entered him in the first place, it would have given a bit of a poser for the next few weeks anyway. I mean, they may just stay with the 2.5 mile route and he's perfectly fine there. But I just wonder if they might have thought, might have been a bit of a nice test for us.
King George then on Boxing Day, just, I'm glad you brought that up actually, because it looks like it's going to be a cracking renewal. Of course, Mike Bites didn't really perform in the Betfair Chase, what we saw at Haydock. Waiting patiently, he's going to make his seasonal appearance in the King George, which is very interesting. Thistlecrack as well, and a cracker in the Betfair Chase. He's going to head there as well. Bristol, DeMay, have you got any early thoughts at all in regards to the race?
Only that I'm struggling at the moment to pull that race apart. I can find doubts in everything, the ones you mentioned. I looked at the race last week and wondered if there could be a bet in there, but I am struggling. Mike Bite has definitely got something to prove. Yes, we know he can bounce back, but you'd like to have obviously seen more last time. Bristol DeMay, it's not even Haydock. Thistlecrack, I thought he ran well at Haydock that day. I'm still not totally convinced I'm certainly not convinced he's the horse he was 2 years ago. He may not need to be, actually. Waiting patiently, well named. the trainer's chosen not to give this horse a prep run, and she's clearly got plenty of faith in the horse's ability. But it'll be 11 months by the time the race comes around that we've last seen him on the track. His price has been contracting in the last week simply because other horses have not been convincing. But Waiting Patiently has got to come out and do it this season. So I've got to say, Bobby, I'm struggling with that race at the moment.
I think what we need to do is just mention, and I saw something on Twitter saying, can anybody name, and I can't just to add there, but can anybody name the last horse to go straight for the King George and win? So make the seasonal appearance in the King George and go and win it. I think it has been done, but I think it was many, many years ago. So to an extent, we're always saying it would be a big ask of waiting patiently, despite the fact we know how good he is. We know he could cut it at the top. He proved that in the Ascot Chase back in February. But as you quite rightly mentioned and alluded to, his seasonal appearance is going to be in the King George, one of the big grade ones of the season, and we haven't seen him for 11 months either.
He's got to prove himself over 3 miles as well, don't forget.
Yeah, so of course, the distance as well, yeah.
So there's only 2.5 at Ascot last time. That was a really strong run race there. So he's got a fair bit to prove. After winning that day at Ascot, if you just said now that he's a 5-1 chance or so for the King George Boxing Day, your first thought would have been, he's probably going to improve and win another race or two before then. But we haven't seen him since. It's 10 months it'll be by the time the race is run on Boxing Day. And it's just, I'm not saying it's a concern, Bobby, at all, but the fact of the matter is his price has contracted recently on the grounds of negatives of the opponents. Mm. So that doesn't prove anything more positive about waiting patiently. We hope he comes and looks a real good horse on Boxing Day, but he's just got to prove it.
And he's Northern trained as well, so we need another Northern winner of the King George.
I can't believe you got about 4 minutes into it before mentioning that.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised myself. The last Northern trained horse of the King George as well was a certain One Man in the 90s of Gordon Richards.
Yeah,
One Man there, bless him. He was the last one to win the King George for the North. Right then, tomorrow, there's only 3 meetings on Monday. We've got 2 jumps meetings and a flat fixture. The jumping is Musselburgh and Lingfield, and the flat is at Wolverhampton. This part of the podcast, as you know, we ask you for your 2 selections for Monday afternoon's racing. So, what is your first selection, please?
Well, first of all, we're going to the mud at Lingfield. It's heavy ground there. It often does suffer really badly through the winter months with the conditions at Lingfield. And not surprisingly, after the rain of the last week or so, same again here. The 2 o'clock race, I'm looking at a horse called Chief Brodie. It's up against a horse called Clayton, who won the race last year for Gary Moore. And there's a few others in coming here with a bit of form. But Chief Brodie has only had 2 runs over the last couple of years since joining Willie Muir, who was predominantly a flat trainer, of course. They've been much improved runs. One after a long absence, one at Warwick in March, in similarly bad conditions, which was a bit of a plus because before that item was a good ground horse, but he bolted that day. He had a nice long break. We saw him at Warwick a month ago on good ground. He was beaten by a horse called Masterwork, but the good thing about that is the first and third of both won races since, so the form looks solid enough. He doesn't take much racing, Chief Brodie, but there's another 4 or 5 week break since then, and hopefully he can get back on the winning trail tomorrow.
And your second selection, please?
We're going on the all-weather. We're going to Wolverhampton, and it'll be the 6:30 race. One of the main handicaps there, 1.6 handicap. We're going to go for the top one, Western Duke, in Williams' horse. Taking a step up in trip, so the stamina is something he's got to prove, but he's been taking on better races than this season. He's been a bit disappointing on a couple of occasions. He was backed to win the valuable all-weather final at Kempton about 3 weeks ago, and in truth, he never really got into the game that day. The winner won really easily, so the connections are going up in trip and hoping that'd be the answer. So he's up in trip, down in class. Hopefully, you've got a bit to prove, but Western Duke can hopefully get back in a winner's enclosure.
John, as always, great to have you here on the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. Thank you very much for your 2 selections. William Hill Racing Radio will be live on Monday afternoon from 12:05 p.m. Join Alex Dunn, Gareth Topham and John Budden as well.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.